Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
But maybe they will. We'll see. That's why we ask.
All right, Munns, we appreciate you.
All right, thanks, y'all.
That is Jason Munns, Tiger basketball beat writer for the Commercial Appeal. All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we've got the list, lots to get to, including maybe the beginning of the end for one Bill Belichick at North Carolina. I want to discuss that, get into some baseball playoffs, and more from the world of sports. We'll do all that next, right here on Jeffrey Wright and Company, 99 FM, ESPN. Each and every day here on Jeffrey Wright and Company, we do a little thing called the list. Let's fire it up. Bill Belichick. All right, George.
This just keeps, the story that keeps on giving, isn't it?
I can't wait. All right, so I got to go. I had to immediately go to the king. He's been all over the story.
Oh, yeah.
The king, Mike Florio, over at Pro Football Talk. Bill Belichick coached the Patriots for 24 seasons. He may not finish one at the college level. It sounds as if there's a non-zero chance he doesn't finish the current week. Andrew Jones of 24/7 Sports, an outlet owned by CBS, reports that, quote, a potential exit strategy discussions potential exit strategy discussions occurred this morning at North Carolina. And while it doesn't mean Belichick will be fired, quote, preliminary conversations, end quote, about the possibility have occurred. The goal reportedly would be to eliminate or minimize Belichick's buyout. The fast-rolling snowball seems to be related to accounts of potential rules violations. This week, reports emerged that an assistant coach was suspended for providing extra benefits to player families and players that were selling free tickets they had received for games. Jones reports, citing an unnamed source, that there are, quote, many violations that have occurred, many on the recruiting front. And Jones adds that this is at the end, quote, as his opinion on the matter, I don't think it's a lock that Belichick coaches the Cal game. The Cal game will be played in Berkeley in only 9 days if something is going to be happening before the 10:30 p.m. Eastern Friday night kickoff on October the 17th. It will need to happen fairly quickly. Okay, so there's a couple of things here. Number one, this is where I truly believe Bill Belichick was never cut out for this world. And here would be a couple of the examples I would cite. When you have been in the whole NFL system, he did not know, or Team Belichick did not know, that when you use your university-issued email address, university-issued phone, whatnot,
that's FOIA, isn't it?
That all of that is subject to freedom of information. That, if you recall back in the summer,
that's right,
is where we learned that Queen Jordan is the one really running the show and that everything had to go through her. We learned that through getting the emails from the Freedom of Information Act. Do you really think North Carolina is all that concerned with potential NCAA violations?
If I had to take a guess from not even recent history, not so recent history, I really don't think that they're that.
This is the school
hindered by that.
This is the school that, their words, not mine, legally beat not even allegations, proven fact that they had basketball players not taking classes. They were taking made-up classes. Their argument was not that that did not occur. Their argument was, you don't tell Harvard what classes they have and do not have. So, I find it hard to believe they actually care. Would they care if they were 5-0? Absolutely not. But this is also where Belichick, not knowing this world of, hey man, that buyout, that's a piece of paper.
Yeah.
They will look for any stone if they can get out of the buyout.
Pebble.
Correct.
That they left in that contract when he signed it. You know they put it there on purpose for someone to trip over. And they've had plenty of opportunity, plenty of runway up until this point to trip over that pebble. And would it shock either of us at all if there was something that could have happened in there that they're like, hey, by the way, don't forget that one line we left in there for to us to minimize that buyout for you, buddy.
And let's be clear, this is not me taking the side of North Carolina.
Oh,
but this is also the classic, like, if you've just been in that NFL bubble and you've never had to deal with anything like this, like, you just don't know. And now they're at the position where the people, like, because it's important to note this. Bill Belichick was not the hire of Bubba Cunningham.
No.
Bubba wanted to hire Sumrall or Matt Campbell. He wanted to go, like, that route.
Yeah, would.
And the board, the Belichick people contacted Carolina boosters, and then they
the boosters got all riled up.
They got all riled up, and that was what they want. So they went over his head.
Would Campbell have even left is my question. Between those two, like Sumrall, I could see where Sumrall looks at that as a step up from the American. I mean, that really would be his next step into a Power Four school. Would Campbell, unless he's getting that $10 million, like that same contract, which I doubt he would get.
So, Matt Campbell, this also comes, Steve Berkowitz over at USA Today has updated the head coach's salary.
I saw that this morning.
So, if I control F to Campbell, I will see Matt Campbell at number 47 at $5 million. And I will scroll up and see Bill Belichick at number 9 at $10 million.
So, even if they split the difference,
like
there,
let's say it was 7.5 or 8. Probably.
He's probably going.
Probably, because
yes.
Also Campbell's at that stage with Iowa State where it's not like he's ever in trouble.
No, because they're consistently good.
But they hit their ceiling.
Yes.
Now, with Sumrall, that's the interesting one because Sumrall really, really wants an SEC gig.
And I could see that.
Now, it's one thing to sit there and say, I want the SEC gig, but if they throw $8 million in front of you, you got to say no.
And that's a tough no. And at the same time, when this hire was made earlier on, which, I mean, you could even still say that today, I think there's a relatively decent argument someone could make that Tulane's football program is in a better spot than North Carolina's.
So that's interesting because I would look at it this way. Most people make the assumption that whenever realignment gets fired up again,
UNC is going to a big conference.
UNC is going to a big conference. The problem that UNC has is what if the reality of the world that we're talking about is not the conference structure that we know today? What if it is indeed the Super League?
Yeah.
And then
the
all
rest.
Other sports reorganize in some form or fashion. And again, I'm not predicting that's what's going to happen, but you would also be insane to think that that's not on the table. Because, again, Florida State and Clemson might have tipped everyone's hand when they settled the lawsuit with the ACC in the summer. Part of the whole get out of jail free card was in the event that another entity arises, and that timeline adds up with when we expect another round of realignment. So Carolina's in this spot where they have to make it look like they care about football, because if they want to be in whatever the highest universe is of payouts,
come 2030.
Correct. So would you, like, because here's the thing about Tulane. Tulane is a good job in the American, but you are still duking it out with every other, you know, every other P4 or every other G6 team that has playoff aspirations.
And is well-funded.
Correct. And, by the way, you really can't lose. Like,
no.
So it's also like this where I think I've now changed my mind that I don't think Rhett Lashley has that difficult of a decision. I think if Arkansas offers, he's got to take it. Because I think you have to look at it in these terms.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe he has better playoff access, but what if he just had better playoff access last year? So, for instance, what if we find out the new strength of schedule metric is just designed to basically figure out a way the ACC gets one, the Big 12 gets one, we're leaving a seat open for Notre Dame, and the G5 gets, or the G6 gets one, and then the rest we're dividing up between the Big 10 and the SEC. Well, now all of a sudden, your access at SMU
is very limited because it feels like that's one of those programs where as long as they're well-funded, they'll get their shot every couple years as opposed to every year, I would think.
I think it's also fair to say this. They might have gotten in the one year that they could have gotten in because it's entirely possible from now on SMU would have to win the ACC to get in.
No, that's absolutely my thought. And then
my deal is I don't think that they may be well funded.
They're not Miami.
Correct.
They're not Florida State. They're not Clemson in that realm of, hey, we're pouring all of our money into football.
And they're not taking any conference money.
That's true. Yeah. They told
So like let's also keep this on the table. Okay, I personally think legally it's gonna have problems. But how do you do, like, let's say we really do get to this universe of the only way you can pay players is legitimate NIL and rev share. Well, what revenue are they sharing if they're not taking revenue?
I mean,
are you basically just saying we can, and I mean,
is that just ticket sales and all that?
I'm wondering if it's like, well, we can still pay them the $22 million that everybody else is, even if it's not quote unquote rev share. But like, I can see where that's going to cause some problems.
Yeah.
So if you're Lashley, and again, I'm not saying that this is what Arkansas is doing, because Arkansas is always, always a delight to watch during a coaching search because
wild
the politics
card.
Are just magnifique.
We have no idea where they're going to go. Really, truly, no clue.
But this idea that, well, why would he leave SMU? It's like, I don't know if he could afford not to leave SMU. Because I think this is also true. If Arkansas is telling the truth and that they're going to start funding football like the rest of the conference does, and we've seen this. We've seen schools that were hesitant at first to really go all in, but they realized very quickly, well, we just have to do it. Like LSU even kind of had this problem. I would argue it was more of a Brian Kelly problem than it was a purely LSU problem. But they're one and the same. If Arkansas is telling the truth, there's nothing systematically that changes the Arkansas job from any other of the SEC jobs. Like, when you look at it, people used to roll their eyes when I'd say Diet NFL or NFL Light. Guys, we're here.
It's what we're seeing.
There's no difference between the job, like, in terms of if your school makes the decision that they want to play with the big boys and play like the big boys, there's nothing that really differentiates the Ole Miss job from the Florida job from the Alabama job.
Not really. Especially if we are just in the world of it has to, 100% has to be, not just the rev share, but the legitimate NIL.
Correct.
That's, to me, the big part of it, because we're still in this world where collectives still have a lot of wiggle room, a lot of the gray area, because we haven't seen it get kicked back yet.
Yes.
To a big level, to a high level. I'm sure there are the small ones where schools and collectives
are
kind of like,
I think the first test subject is going to be Texas Tech.
Oh, it has to be. And with the amount of money that one person is just funneling into, like, not just one program, multiple programs there.
Well, and Texas Tech has basically said, we'll see you in court.
Oh, yeah.
And so then you quickly get an injunction, then the courts settle it out or figure it out. So we're talking about probably 2 years. And if they have the injunction, everybody's just going to have the injunction. So we're just going to be in this universe.
But even then, think about that. If it's 2 years from the end of this season, we're in 2028, right?
Yes.
Okay. By 2028, that's well within the time frame of, okay, schools, organizations, conferences are really having to figure out, okay, where is this realignment going? Where's our TV money coming from? How is this going to work 2 years down the line?
Oh, that 100, because 2030 is when the contracts run up, but what we've seen is it gets sorted out 2 years.
We're not leaving that to the last minute, yes.
Because they want to negotiate with all the brands.
Yes.
And so I think if Carol, that's the other question. It's like, so how much does, because this was what was unclear to me, is how serious was Carolina with the NIL space? Because I think it's possible that Belichick and Lombardi basically went and built a mediocre Sun Belt team on an actual, like, decent budget. Like, I think there's a lot of guys there that are actually getting paid. I mean, Gio Lopez, bless him, and I don't fault him at all.
No.
He's making $2 million. If anybody watched some Tuesday or Wednesday night Fun Belt last year, you knew Gio Lopez had moments, but you weren't convinced, like, man, that guy's going to be awesome. But they put $2 million in front of him, and guess what he did? What all of us would do. But the whole point is, they could have gotten Gio Lopez for $400,000, maybe.
Probably.
I don't even know that much. Like,
even to that point, we're just sticking at a basketball school in the ACC. How much did it get reported that Darian Mensah is getting from Duke?
It was reported as four.
Reported at four.
That would be the classic show your work.
Definitely, that's a show your work. But I think at the same time,
I think it's fair to say he was getting probably closer to at least 2.5.
Also, okay.
Private school.
Private school, 100%. Okay. But if we're taking both of those, which I think both can probably be close to a show your work, if it is Gio Lopez, who is even starting now?
So,
or are they just fully splitting time with Max Johnson?
Look it up. Max is playing. I think Gio's hurt, though. Gio got hurt in the UCF game. Because I think it was that's the other thing that was so obvious is Max gave them their better chance to win, albeit fractionally. Yet, Gio kept playing. But I think Gio, the last image I saw of Gio was he was going off on a golf cart. He was going off on a golf cart in the UCF game.
He did get hurt in that game, which that was a couple weeks ago. So all I look up was Gio Lopez injury update, and the first one is North Carolina quarterback Gio Lopez injured out of game at UCF. Literally the next couple are from a day ago. From On Three, concerning report emerges revealing Gio Lopez was hospitalized after a car crash days before the season opener.
I mean, honestly, it would explain some of the RPO decisions he was making.
Yeah.
But I mean, like, this is where this sport thrives, because we are now going to get into the mudslinging to try and get the buyout down. Yeah. And we're going to get, so if for those that don't know, I think it was the Raleigh TV station, but one of the big TV stations in North Carolina did the expose on the program, got all the disgruntled parents on the record. And like, this is where we are. This is just we are about to start slinging mud, and here we go. Now, what is truly going to make this great is I got to thank my girl, the queen. I cannot wait to see what Jordan's decision and strategy is going to be to fight this. Because one thing I know is she doesn't fight very smart. And she also, though, fights with reckless abandon.
Oh, yeah.
So very much looking forward to that. All right, so then we also got the... This is what I thought was a little bit interesting. All right, so we got from Steve Berkowitz over at USA Today. I think we knew this. I couldn't remember if Day's extension or whatever he got. But Kirby Smart maintains number one.
Yep.
Total pay, $13.2 million. Ryan Day is two at $12.575. Lincoln Riley, 11.5 at number three. Dabo at 11.4, number four. Sark at 10.8. Dan Lanning at 10.4. Kalen DeBoer at 10.25. Brian Kelly at 10.175. Bill Belichick at 10.1. Lane Kiffin at 9 million. So, what I think is interesting about this, though, is feel pretty confident about Ohio State getting to the playoff.
Yep.
I feel pretty confident about Oregon getting to the playoff. I feel good about Alabama getting to the playoff. Not great. Is that fair?
No, that's fair. Where are we on Georgia?
I don't know. This game is so fast. Like, when I watch Georgia, I think Georgia's losing either this week or next week. Now, at 10-2, they're still probably fine. And this is also where we kind of have to recalibrate. I think 9-3 SEC is better off than... I think people are ascribing the standard of last year.
I don't think we can do that.
And I don't think we can.
No.
But basically, here's what we do know. Lincoln's not getting there.
No.
Dabo's not getting there.
Definitely not.
I guess Sark's not dead, but I don't feel good about it.
Neither do I.
LSU's this weird one where I almost wonder if we're a little too down on them. They still have a really good unit in their defense, and I think their offensive problems are more due to the fact that their quarterback's dealing with an oblique injury.
I think that's pretty clear at this point.
And I think if he can get healed up, I think they're still going to be okay.
Yes.
But there is this weird... I feel like everybody's moved on from LSU, and I'm not sure that I'm ready to sit there and go, no, thank you. They lost a road game against an undefeated team by a possession.
Yeah.
Like...
And also on LSU, are we just discounting some of their skill position players? Like, they really did a good job of picking up other guys from SEC teams. The one who also, like, the entire game terrifies me. Just his Berrian Brown is awesome.
Again, I watched him at Innsworth. You want to talk about an unfair fight?
Berrian Brown
against the Owls. That was, yeah,
That guy's a freak. I mean, like, they have plenty of those type of players around Nussmeier. Their offensive line, like, obviously still needs to shape up a little bit, but...
And they have injuries there. Like,
yes. Like, don't get me wrong.
I mean, I think that's kind of the other thing is... There are teams that I think or I feel good about, but, like, let's be real. Most of these SEC teams are like an injury or two away from having their entire fate change. Like,
yeah.
Like, forget quarterback. I wonder what happens to the Ole Miss if Lacey gets hurt. Like, I think part of why Ole Miss has been very good this year, number one, they've added him in short yardage.
Oh, and yeah. He's awesome.
How many drives last year did not get extended because they didn't have a running back that could pick up a yard or two?
Way too many.
Keeping it rolling. But, like, you take Lacy out, I think Ole Miss has five pretty good offensive linemen. What if one of them gets hurt? Like, it's kind of the same thing else. It's like LSU went from looking pretty solid to all of a sudden, let's stack up some injuries on the offensive line. They can't block anybody. And now their quarterback's
tough to run the ball.
Tough to run the ball. And probably related, your quarterback winds up getting banged up. So, like, that's the thing is, like, we can feel good about some of these teams, but I feel like they're all a couple injuries away. Like, Ty Simpson's playing probably, if not the best quarterback right now.
Top three?
Yes.
Easily.
Like, I think him and Beck have, to me, just like, when you, I'm not all that concerned with who's got the best numbers. I'm talking about taking the snap in complete control, making the right read, delivering good balls. Those two, to me, look like the two best.
I will put Dante Moore in there. He's been very good at Oregon. But I know exactly what you're saying. Like,
I'm fine if you want to add Dante. I still think Dante gets a little loose with the ball.
He does. That also could be young quarterback.
Yeah, and I just think also he's like his offense is a little bit more, you know.
It's a little like bit more out of structure.
We don't really want Ty Simpson and Carson Beck running the zone read.
No.
Not saying that they physically can't do it, but like.
That's not their game.
For Dante, you'd be doing your team a disservice.
Oh, yeah, if you didn't let him.
Correct.
Run that ball. Going back to Georgia, because I pulled up their schedule, they've already got the one loss, right?
Correct.
We're not sure about this weekend on the road at night at Auburn. Those games always get weird. Okay, they have that. They have at Ole Miss. Or, excuse me.
Ole Miss
home. Home to Ole Miss.
Right.
Home to Florida.
Yes. No, Jacksonville. Split. 50-50.
Yeah, that's right.
Whatever.
At State, which I don't know if State wins that game, but that game could get weird. We've seen them play really well against good opponents. Texas and Georgia Tech.
No,
could they pick up two or three more losses in that schedule if their offense can't pick it up?
Well, I mean, this is what we were talking about last week, and I stand by it. I weirdly think if Alabama wins this week, I'm totally cool going, we took a circuitous route, but the team that I thought that was going to be the best team in the league
is still the best.
Is the best team in the league.
Yes.
We got week one, and I don't think they handled that well. But it was week one. There's no preseason. They probably did not have the best game plan for Castellanos. And I think if they played the game, they'd play him differently. I'm not saying, oh, they'd definitely win 100%. But it's like,
they would definitely scheme it up differently.
I think 100%. They would play it very differently than they wound up playing it. But you turned right around after going to Georgia and winning. And you had a game where Vanderbilt came in ready to go, and yeah, Vanderbilt made some key mistakes, but you shut them down in the second half completely.
Just took care of business.
Shut them down in the second half, and now it's like the one last test that I want with this Alabama team is, do they go on the road against a team that is not Georgia? And I mean, do they handle business?
Really the only two spots they have
for that.
Because
then they would have Tennessee at home and Oklahoma at home, correct?
Yes. The only two spots they have for that is this weekend against Missouri, and that's a Missouri team that is looking good right now. They're rolling, but this might be one of Missouri's only tests.
Line's three.
That tells me pretty much what I need to know. Like,
but we have no idea. With Missouri, they have, I think their strength of schedule right now is 109th. But if you watch Missouri, you're like, that's a pretty good football team. But again,
against who?
It's kind of the Texas Tech issue.
Yeah.
That I'm leaving open the idea that Texas Tech has funded a roster that is elite. But I don't know if we're ever going to see a game this year until the playoff where we'll really know, because I look at the rest of the Big 12 and I'm like, they're a lot better than them. I don't really know.
And then the last one on the schedule, though, of course, for Alabama is the Iron Bowl.
And we skipped over LSU.
They don't play LSU this year. Oh, that's a home game.
Yeah.
Sorry.
No, they get it. So their remaining road slate is Missouri this week. They go to Auburn.
And they have at South Carolina.
And at South Carolina, which, again, it's good defense.
It's a really talented defense, and you have a quarterback that you have to account for multiple ways.
I don't love him as a pure thrower, but let me tell you what.
Hey.
He can beat you.
Yes, he can.
And he scared the hell out of him last year at home. It's just where, when you start looking at the SEC, it's like, I just don't think I've seen anyone good enough that I'm going, they're good enough to get through this thing unblemished. I guess I'm open to the idea of A&M. But, like, do I really love A&M if they got into a game that just got kind of drunk? Pull up A&M's schedule, though, because A&M has... So they have LSU. Mizzou game.
Okay, they have a bit more on the road.
All right.
So their road slate is at Arkansas.
Okay.
At LSU, just assuming that's a night game, at Missouri, and at Texas. Their home slate, they've got Florida this weekend, South Carolina, and Samford. So they have one tune-up.
Who would make them uncomfortable?
I could see LSU making them uncomfortable because I think they've got the defense that can hem in Marcel.
I think South Carolina could too.
Yeah.
And they popped him last year, but that's always could that be the Texas A&M revenge spot?
Always. By the end of the year.
I just don't think anyone's getting through this thing undefeated, man.
No, I don't think so either. And like, even as much as we can talk about Texas's struggle so far, by the end of the season, last week of the year, rivalry game at Texas in Austin, could that game get a little weird? Absolutely.
Yeah, and I mean, like, there's also the, you know, what if Arch is finally...
What if he wakes up?
What if they figure out, like, to me, part of the problem with Arch is, and this is where I do think Sark deserves some blame, figure out what plays he likes. We just watched, and I know, hey, it's not apples to apples, but UCLA sat there and said, what does our guy like to do? And instead of having him go through the entire buffet of the playbook, figure out the plays that he likes and rep those. Because it looks to me like a lot of the issues start from, number one, he's panicking. But let's also establish, why might he be panicking? Well, every time I watch them play, he's going up to the last second of the play clock trying to change a protection and then doing this, trying to clap, give me the ball. So he's in a panic before the snap even starts.
Yeah.
So I don't know if this means maybe you set the protections from the sideline, whatnot, but it's like, it feels to me like they've got to do a better job of helping him along. Because it seems like at this point, that's your only option.
Pretty much.
I don't know why. There's something about Georgia. So I saw, maybe it was Bud Elliott had mentioned this, that there's the theory that maybe Georgia's pass rush is not as good because of the, you can't do the quick defensive lines, you know, like they're, when they're doing the quick shifts or whatever, like stuff that would draw
the pre-snap.
Right.
Yeah.
Because they're not able to do that as much, they're not creating as many good matchups for their pass rush.
For what that's worth.
I just think it looks like they don't have the dudes. Like there's not Jalen Carter. There's not Walker. Mackay last year.
Yeah.
Like I don't see, like when I watch them, I don't see bad players.
No, and like
but I don't see freaks.
Even the non-freaks, the intellectual guys, I don't think they necessarily, like, the one that sticks out to me that, to me, was a big loss, N'Kobe Dean quarterbacked that defense. Like, he had those guys where they needed to be, when they needed to be there. Like, that type of player is very important on a defense, let alone, like you said, the dudes.
All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, Mark Giannotto over at USA Today has written about the most interesting buyouts, because we are now officially in the buyout season thanks to Bill Belichick. Let's talk about those when we come back right here on Jeff Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, over at the USA Today, Mark has written about coaches' buyouts, but now Ollie Connolly of the Read Option writes about college and NFL football. He has added on to the North Carolina reporting. You ready?
Oh, yeah.
Per sources, Bill Belichick has discussed buyout options with North Carolina's hierarchy. Belichick has signaled a willingness to trigger his own $1 million buyout if he can find a soft landing with another team or in media. Members of Belichick's coaching staff have already spoken to other schools that are expected to be in the college football playoff about taking on roles during the postseason. From one coach, quote, "the rats are leaving the ship," end quote. Some staffers believe a change will come within 2 weeks. Ollie also continues, reports of serious recruiting violations remain under investigation at UNC. Recruiting and practice violations have already been proven by the school, according to multiple sources. Using recruit violations to knock down a coach's buyout has become a standard practice. If Belichick cannot find a landing spot to trigger his own buyout, he's expected to accept a greatly reduced compromised rate. Belichick's communication with his staff in the past 2 weeks has been described as, quote, weird and, quote, distant by multiple members of UNC's coaching staff. Multiple coaches were unable to get a hold of him during UNC's bye week. From one UNC defensive assistant, quote, "what we've done to these kids is effed up." He's not coaching the Cal game.
No, there's no shot. You said within 2 weeks?
Yeah. I mean, they have a bye week this week.
Uh-huh.
And then they go to Cal next Friday. So,
is this just a, we have to keep an eye on this minute to minute now?
I think it's going to be a matter of, this is over.
It's looking like it, yeah.
And the question is, can they? I think Carolina would like to get to the point where it's $1 million for Belichick to get out of the deal, but it's going to be dependent on, I think, the fact that they added another job or media. Like, the media is going to take him back. I mean, that was part of the whole rehab. The whole image rehab was, he was pretty good in media.
I liked him.
So, and there's probably some acceptance now from him. I think the whole goal was to see if he could get back to the NFL. And this has gone so horrifically.
That's out the window, I think.
That's out the window. And now it's also gone so badly that you can't even set your son up to take over. Now, maybe that's what would be interesting to see is, who would they name the interim?
Who's their OC?
Fat Freddy. NFL coaching experience as well.
I know that's true.
But like, can you really do this divorce and then name Steven the interim? Like, maybe they can negotiate. Maybe that's what Belichick can negotiate, is that Steven gets named the interim, and that you're hoping that he gets an audition if they can make it look better. And if you're North Carolina, what do you care?
Yeah, at that point, the season's pretty much lost.
Well, I mean, like, in the end, you control, like...
And the even if the audition goes well, you don't have to keep him.
Yeah.
And, like, for what it's worth, at least Stephen Belichick has...
He's coached in college.
Yes, he has college coaching experience.
Okay, Mark has taken a look at the most interesting buyouts in 2025. He has Dabo. Mark doesn't rank him. He just lists the 10.
Mm-hmm.
So he has Dabo. I'm bypassing Dabo. I think Dabo's going to be the Clemson coach next year.
Me too.
Beyond that, I don't know, but I think that's what... This is the one that I'm fascinated by. James Franklin.
Mm.
So Mark writes, Franklin's record against top 10 opponents and his inability to win the Big Ten has long led to grumbling among a vocal minority of Penn State fans, and his name is often mentioned in high-profile coaching searches because of his otherwise strong record. But Penn State suffered a stunning loss at UCLA on October 4th, and the noise got a lot louder. The Nittany Lions have a quandary. It just so happens Franklin's buyout to break his contract at Penn State and leave for another school drops to $1 million on January the 1st. It would cost the university more than $48 million to fire Franklin as of December 1st. If the Nittany Lions don't live up to expectations this year, as their current course suggests, will it lead Franklin to look elsewhere for a fresh start? He hasn't yet, but the narrative is already out there. It's less expensive for him to do so. I still think if I'm Franklin, I'm making him fire me. Because you're not going to get a better job.
You're not going to get a better job. And this is part of the whole situation with a lot of these guys right now, where it drops dramatically come January 1st. I just had to double check because I know they approved the change to a single transfer portal window.
Yep.
Do you know when that starts?
December.
No. January 2nd.
So I'm a little, like, to me, it's like, I think those numbers can be negotiated. Like, in the end, if they decide to separate, like, you'll basically, that'll end up being the number. Like, it's going to be a matter of, does Franklin say, I'm going to get out before they get me?
Mm-hmm.
But I'm also sitting there going, like, you've got to fire me. Because you're not going to find a better job. He writes about Freeze. We've talked about that one, that his figure drops to 10.5 next year. I mean, to me, it's like these next 2 weeks for Freeze are so massive. He gets Georgia at home, and then he gets Missouri at home. He's got to win one of them. And if he doesn't win one of them, I still am standing by. I think he's going to step away for health reasons. Brent Key was under there for what it'd take to get him out.
Yeah.
His cost for a school to get him drops to $3 million on January 1, your target date. Dillingham.
That's another interesting one with Kenny. Because I think that would have to be another school trying to get him out.
He is an alum. No, that's what they're saying. He's not. It drops to $3 million to get him out next December. I just think Kenny, I think he's an alum. Like, they're kind of supporting him. He gets kind of whatever he wants. If Kenny could get a big SEC gig, I could see it. But it's why the Arkansas job fascinates me. If their candidates wind up being what I think they are, it is also going to trigger all these guys are just looking for either SEC or Big Ten jobs. Dan Mullen also, let's see. Dan's, if a Power 4 conference hires him before December 1st, they owe UNLV $7 million, but it drops to $6 million on December 2nd with an annual $1 million decrease. I am curious to see if Dan gets one more shot. They're undefeated.
I was going to say, if the year keeps going like it has been for UNLV, I'd be surprised if he didn't get at least one more shot.
All right, let's take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll tell your story next right here on Jeff Wright & Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. All right, George, for today's Don't Tell These Story, Tell Your Story, we got to go with Lane Kiffin. You could have your choice between Trinidad Chambliss is going to remain his starting quarterback, or the one that I preferably like, when asked about this weekend's matchup with Washington State, it's a first-place SEC team against a first-place Pac-12 team.
Got to evaluate things.
Battle of unbeaten or battle of first place teams.
Got to look at your options, right?
For those that don't know the joke, there's only two teams in the Pac-12, and I don't.
Oh yeah,
they've actually played yet. My thanks to Coach Hurd for joining the program, as well as Jason Munns. If you missed anything, it'll be up on the podcast shortly after the program ends. For George, this is Jeffrey saying thanks for listening. Keep listening. The Gabe Kuhn Show is coming up next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.